This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:02 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steerin, your State Farm insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By CTI Tech, bringing 1-gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Bullitt.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. You didn't get fired.
I'm still here.
You're here.
I'm still employed.
I'm sure there were some folks wondering, wait a minute, what happened to David? Well, baby number three came a lot earlier than anticipated.
5 weeks early. What has it been, 2 weeks ago now? Yeah. Friday, the January 31st, yes. Baby Kennedy Jenkins made her appearance into the world. We were worried she was going to have to spend time in the NICU being 5 weeks early, but fortunately, she was able to come home right away. We were there probably an extra day in the hospital just to make sure everything was good. But we're good. She's over 5 pounds now. We're mama and baby are doing very well.
There we go. That is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
I like you that you cleared that up because there were rumors going around that cut his brake cables and when I wound up out of work, I made a call to some guys. And
yeah, all of a sudden
he's not in the trunk.
Yeah. I was here Thursday. I was here actually that Friday for all of 10 minutes and then was gone.
He was gone.
So
people might have thought that T-Tote's famous cousins, the Carlucci brothers, came and got you.
True.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't.
So David is still with us. We're very glad. We got Kay Hirsch in studio with us this morning. Kyle will be joining us for the full hour. A lot to talk with about Kyle this morning. We're going to talk, of course, wrestling sectionals, boys basketball postseason. You might have heard this is Steve Kimbrough's final season. I don't know if you were aware of that, Kyle.
I've heard rumors.
It's been lightly reported.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a couple, it's gathered a little bit of press from, other than usual sources. So it's been a fun year, you know, hopefully he's not hated it as much as he probably has.
I don't know that he has necessarily probably enjoyed the farewell tour that he gets on the road.
Yeah, he's always kind of shied away from the spotlight. But, you know, it's probably nice, too, to be recognized for, all he's accomplished over the last 39 years. So
he'd probably like it a lot better if it wasn't always before the game.
Yeah, probably so.
So we'll talk about all that with Kay Hirsch coming up as the hour moves along here this morning on Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini basketball this afternoon from Rutgers, 2:30 with the pregame on WAOX 105.3, the Ox. Well, coming up on Monday night, we will have girls sectional basketball for you, a semifinal from Greenville. It'll be Carlinville and Breeze Modern Day, 6 o'clock tip, live pregame coverage at 5:50 Monday night on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. And happy to be joined on the phone right now by Carlinville head coach Darren Deneve. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to all you guys. It's nice to hear from you. Sean, you know, it's nice to know somebody who's got a guy who's got a guy.
You got to have the guy who knows the guy.
Yeah.
That's what life's all about right there.
I'm probably one step away from that. I might know a guy who has a guy who has a guy.
But then if you don't pay them, the guy comes after you.
Just have your guy talk to my guy. They'll schedule a lunch. We'll get together. We'll get it all ironed out.
Okay, should they talk about the first thing or the second thing?
Probably start with the first thing, then you move on to the second thing.
All right.
Darren, did you get any sleep last night?
Actually, I did get some sleep last night. I didn't get much the night before. I think I hit the pillow and my eyes were closed.
And Darren, by my calculations, last night was your 250th career win. What a way to get it.
Yeah, Carlinville 250. It was very, very nice. We had 300 earlier in the season, and my family and I celebrated, so that was pretty cool. But 250 is a nice round number at Carlinville. So,
talk about this week for your team. It was two hard-fought games, and you come out with a regional championship.
Well, you know, in some ways, we weren't all that excited about playing one of the teams that had beaten us before in Hillsboro. But in some ways, it might have been kind of a blessing because none of us were thinking about the second game, the whole time that we were preparing for the region. in Hillsboro and knew that they would be quite a challenge. And so there was no looking ahead for the Cavaliers, I can promise you that. And so in some ways, I suppose it helped us focus. And, you know, Pittsfield was a handful. We got some good young athletes, and so we just scored more points than they did.
And I mean,
not sure how it happened.
As far as Pittsfield goes, you know, they came in the seventh seed, and I think they were seeded properly because the six teams above them, I think, deserved to be there. But I don't know there was a better seventh seed in any subsectional in the entire state. That's a good club you beat last night.
I was very impressed with them on both nights. And, you know, they had just that number one, Cox, is just a heck of an athlete and a really tough matchup for us. And so when you get that situation going and you're a team that likes to play the way that we do, then there's a lot of teamwork that has to happen to keep someone like them in check.
And Pittsfield, they had trouble matching your athletes last night. When you got Jill Staten, Corn Stewart, and Gracie Reels on the floor at the same time, those are three elite athletes that cause a variety of problems.
Definitely. And, you know, they've really been playing with all three of them. And like you say, for most of the teams on our schedule, they have a hard time guarding, you know, all three of them. And so we try to find a matchup that we like and exploit it a little bit. And, you know, it's just I'm lucky to have a balanced squad the way that we have.
Talking with Darren Deneve, head coach of the regional champion Carthenville Cavaliers. They will be taking on Breeze Modern Day in the Greenville sectional Monday night, 6 o'clock. We'll have it live on FM 106. And, Darren, as you looked at your season as a whole, quality schedule, you go 28-3. And sometimes when you have a record like that, there can be a little extra pressure when you get into the postseason, especially that first postseason game. You never want to have a great regular season and then have your season over in your first playoff game.
No, you sure don't. We're lucky that it didn't happen to us, but it sure could have. You know, Hillsboro was, you know, obviously a tough matchup for us. And like I said, it's in some ways, I'm almost glad we had to play such a tough team early because we didn't even really have a chance to think about, you know, beyond one game. And so perhaps that was to our benefit. We're I don't know, blessed to have had the season that we've had. We've been winning tournaments, and we're trying just to keep it, you know, the old cliche where it's one at a time, and I think we almost have to. You know, we don't score a whole bunch of points, and so we've had close game after close game, and so I think our goal is good.
And for you guys, it usually does come down to shot making. If you're making perimeter shots like you did this week in the regional, you guys can play with anybody on your schedule. If the shots aren't going down, then it's going to rely on your defense to try to keep you in the ball game.
It does, and you know, our defense has been really solid all year, and we've been making just enough shots, like you say. In fact, you know, I think it was last night, we surpassed the school record in three-pointers made, and so there are teams that make a lot more three-pointers than us, but historically we don't shoot a whole bunch, but we're shooting more this year than we ever have, and so the girls were actually pretty excited about that when I told them that we broke that school record.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. Have you thought at all about Modern Day?
Trying to gather some information. You know, I saw them on Tuesday in Duluth. I didn't get there right on time after and then when I got to the gym, I talked to a couple people, and then before I knew it, it was halftime, and so I didn't really get a chance to write a bunch down, but I did get an opportunity to see them a little bit in person, and so I know what they look like and how athletic they are. And this morning here before we practice, I'm going to try to gather as much information as I can and go from there.
All right. Darren, congratulations on a great year. You finished 28-3 regional champs, and you're on to the sectional. We will have it for you 6 o'clock Monday night against Breeze Modern Day, and congratulations.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Darren Deneve, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers, and I guess they didn't finish 28-3.
Not
yet. They improved.
Yeah, improved to 28-3. And Modern Day is a tough team. You know, they beat a good old Marquette team in the regional championship. Have gotten, you know, they're like 19-8. But their losses are against Highland twice, Belleville West twice, you know, I mean.
I think it was seven of the eight were 3A, 4A losses.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, that's saying a lot. So they face some pretty tough competition.
Well, you know who their last two regular season wins were? Nashville and T-Town.
Yeah, and T-Town just beat, you know, Pena for, you know, in the regional over at Newton. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough game for them, but you know, like I think you said it last night, you know, whenever you focus on defense, you know, I think that keeps you in a lot of games. So, and the way that Carnival's defense has been playing, you know, if they can stick around and get a couple big threes every now and then, you know, that'll be big.
And I mean, the beauty of the postseason, Sean, we talked about it last week. You can't just go by the seeds. I mean, upsets are going to happen. And lo and behold, we got a big one in the regional semifinals when Pittsfield knocked off number two Porta. Porta had only lost two games all year, and then they got really controlled by Pittsfield that entire game, and you see it every year where one of those teams that has a great regular year just can't get it done come playoff time.
Well, yeah, you just never know the X factors. New coach, the players latch onto the system late in the season, injuries. So many are just getting hot. Crisis of confidence ends. You just never know what can happen with a team at the end. And the other way, a team can go into tank at the end after a great season.
And sometimes you just get a bad matchup. You know, the old boxing thing is styles make fights. And sometimes you can have a great team, but a certain club, for whatever reason, just gives you fits. And if you get a bad draw, it's going to be a short, short run.
You know, I think Greenville experienced that a little bit whenever they played Southwestern. I mean, Southwestern, you don't want to face Southwestern in the postseason. And, you know, I think they found that out firsthand. So,
unfortunately for Greenville, that's 2 years in a row because Hillsborough was a bad matchup for them last year.
Absolutely. So, I mean, they've had some really good teams and just haven't been able to make it, you know, make it click. So,
we did get a break here. Before we do, though, was talking to Brett Teakin last night during the three-point shootout, and he just made the comment after the winners were getting set to be announced. He's like, I bet they're not going to shoot in front of as big a crowd at Greenville as they did at Hillsborough last year. And it's like, no, they're not. I've never seen a sold-out three-point contest
like we did last year. That was pretty interesting. So,
and, you know, as we get now a year removed from that Hillsborough sectional becomes even more special, I think, Kay Hirsch, because three games, complete sellouts for all three games, and that was just as electric of an atmosphere as maybe I've ever seen in a high school gym.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know, and then to have a team go on to play at the state tournament and finish fourth like Hillsborough did, you know, I think that just adds to it, you know, that they didn't get, you know, I mean, and I think Plains could have, you know, went there that far, you know, Greenville could have went that far, you know, it was a really interesting atmosphere and really a cool part for those kids to be a part of.
It'll be an interesting sectional next week in Greenville. We know Carlinville Modern Day in the first semifinal at 6. Breese Central waiting in the second semifinal at 7:30 Monday night. They'll get the winner of the Auburn Regional, which will be tonight between Pleasant Plains and Auburn. Plains got past South County last night by 8. Auburn beat Tri-City Sangamon Valley by 2. And you would sure think Plains is the favorite there, and they are the favorite.
Sure.
But on Auburn's home floor with a championship at stake, Plains will be in for a battle with Auburn tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, and looking ahead, I mean, there's a lot of interesting matchups, you know, whether you want to go, you know, I mean, if both of the Breeze teams at that sectional, that's always entertaining. You know, Plains, you know, kind of on a redemption kick after, you know, such a close loss last year. You know, or Auburn, you know, coming, that's kind of an underdog story there too. I mean, you know, Tri-City Sangamon Valley was a really good team this year. So, you know, have a 2,000-point scorer in Ashland Sturdy. So, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will have more with Kyle Hirschman following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Sean Blunt.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Kay Hirsch in studio with us, of course, from the Journal News. And Kyle will be headed off to Vandalia here as soon as the sports show is done for the 1A wrestling sectional. And with Vandalia and Auburn both in that sectional there, Kyle, they've been on a collision course all year long with those two programs, and they haven't disappointed with the number of wrestlers they put in to the sectional. But, boy, Litchfield had a very strong regional week, since six wrestlers.
Yeah, six wrestlers. Actually ended up with seven there because the 106-pounders did not make weight. So Alex Powell ended up, he was the alternate for Litchfield and ended up going too and won his first match. So, you know, last night at the at Vandalia and, you know, good start for him. And you know, they're already underway over there. And, you know, he got a win in a second round consolation match too. So they had, you know, at the start of the day, they had all seven guys ready to go. And two of them, Will Carlisle Jr., undefeated this year, 35-0, which is hard to do. He made it to the semifinals, and also Jefferson Thomas at 220. He's a senior. He made it to the semifinals too. So, you know, they've had a good season. They're not the, they don't have, fill out all the weight classes. So they're not going to be the dual team, threat that they've been in some years past. But, and you know, the Davidson brothers, Coy and Chance, have had a really good, year for them. So it's been fun to watch.
And I just, from a Litchfield athletic perspective as a whole, I'm happy to see when the wrestling team has this type of success, which they normally do, very good wrestling program. But you know how it works. Football takes up so much of our space and our thoughts. And so sometimes you just get in your mind, well, you know, if a team, if they're not good at football, boy, the athletic program as a whole is just in shambles. That's not the case at all. So for what Litchfield has had to go through with the football program the last few years, really good to see them have success on the wrestling mat.
Yeah, and you know, they've had success in, you know, in cross country and some other sports too that aren't necessarily as high profile as football. You know, and some of the issues that they've had are issues that every school's been having, you know, with participation and not having enough kids to have. I mean, you know, as good as Carlinville's girls team is, they haven't had a JV team this year,
right?
You know, which is big. So, I think, you know, hopefully, you know, I know Mark Elvers is working to change the culture there at Litchfield and working on some things. So hopefully he's successful in that.
You got the brackets up, I guess, for the wrestling. At 113 pounds, Ashton Carver of Litchfield was in the WrestleBacks, taking on Caleb Olink of Monticello. Don't know what the status of that match was this morning. Jake Schwartz of Carlinville was also in the WrestleBacks at 113 pounds. Hillsborough's Jonah Harkins at 160 pounds. He's had a really good year for the Hilltoppers of Hillsborough. He was into the WrestleBacks, taking on Braden Whiting of Harrisburg. And it's always interesting the number of schools that get represented in the wrestling. I mean, it's a wider number of schools in the individual wrestling competition than just about any other postseason event, it seems.
Well, and it's crazy too. You know, I mean, you look at, you know, you look through the list of schools that are there. I mean, Sacred Heart Griffin is there.
Yeah, Rochester's
you
there.
You know, Rochester's there. You know, it's a lot of these.
Heron's there.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
it seems random.
It's very random. Like, they kind of all pile in the south there in the bottom. And, you know, in the past, I mean, some of the best teams are still located up north, but like you said, Vandalia and Auburn have really showed that they are, you know, to be contended with in that class. You know, also, like, Belleville Althoff was at the East Alton Wood River Regional, too. And they have some guys that are state caliber, you know, state champion caliber guys. Some of the – there's one more Brown Eagle left. Two of them went to U of I to wrestle there. And they have a younger brother that's wrestling for Althoff Catholic now, won a regional championship there. So, you know, it's been – you know, and the, regardless of what happens, you know, the state finals at wrestling are a lot of fun, especially the Grand March. It's kind of like the Olympic opening right. ceremony, you know. So it's a neat deal if you can make it there. And I know that Litchfield. I mean, it's been a couple of years since Litchfield's had somebody there, you know, and they're hoping that Will, you know, he's probably their best shot at it right now, you know, having going undefeated this year. And, you know, he's just had a really impressive year. So,
Sean, I don't know. Have you ever seen the Grand March?
I have not. I have not had the honor.
Nor have I. And from what I have been told, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
It's worth it. You know, I mean, they shut all the lights off. There's all the coaches are in suits and ties. You know, the wrestlers, they march the wrestlers all the way around. There's beach balls.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's seriously kind of like the Olympic opening ceremonies. And, and then they, you know, line up all the wrestlers for, you know, I mean, 1, 2, and 3A and introduce them, have a spotlight at the middle of the ring or middle of the mat.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's definitely a spectacle. They do it right. And the place is usually full too. So, you know, that, it's a good atmosphere to have at State Farm, you know, and they're going to be hosting the, wrestling sectionals or wrestling state finals until, 2025, I believe. I think they just re-upped that. So, it's been a lot of fun.
Talking with Kyle Hirschman here of the Journal News in Hillsboro, talking about the 1A Vandalia Wrestling Sectional. Any updates to
Looks like Ashton Carver did win his match, so he's on in the consolation.
Okay.
I think they're not very far along in that consolation's second round. You know, they'll have those matches. I believe then they'll have the semifinal matches, because that'll determine who those guys wrestle. You know, trying to read the, you know, a bracket sometimes for wrestling is kind of like trying to teach a dog Chinese. So it takes some talent. But like I said, you know, Will Carlisle has his matches up against a kid from Monticello, Austin McConaughey, and you know, looking at these guys' records, like they all have like 25 to 30 to almost 40 wins. And, you know, that's a lot of work, you know, that goes in during the regular season. And, it's, like I said, it's a fun atmosphere. It'll be fun in Vandalia too.
Kyle, you follow the wrestling a lot closer than I do. We talked about, you know, in basketball, upsets. They're going to happen. The seeds don't matter. It seems to me that in wrestling, that's not the case, to where the cream rises to the top fairly consistently.
Fairly consistently, yeah. Every now, but it like you said with basketball, though, it's all a matchup problem, you know. Too, you know, especially with some of the weights, you can have a guy that's, you know, 6 foot, you know, and you know, 195 pounds, and have a guy that's 5'10" and, or you know, 5'8" and 195 pounds.
Right.
And that's a big difference in you know, East Alton Wood River, I used to have a kid named Zach, I'm going to butcher his last name, Blazioli.
Close enough.
And he looked like the Tasmanian devil, you know, and he was, I mean, just phenomenal. I think he's wrestling at Milliken, now, but, you know, I mean, you know, he'd go up against guys that had, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 inches on him, and he just, you know, destroy them. Mm. But, you know, because, I mean, partly, in part because he was just a good wrestler, but in part because it was a matchup problem for them. So, you know, there's, whenever it comes, especially with the teams, though, you're right. You know, I mean, Lena Winslow, has been one of the best teams in the state this year. They won the, tournament at Litchfield, you know, by a pretty healthy margin, and that was kind of example of that. Vandalia has been extremely good this year. They doubled up the regional. They had twice as many points as a second place team, which you know, so that.
I think they had 8 regional champs.
Yeah,
I think. Is
yeah,
what it
they're
was.
They're really good this year, you know, and they've been really good for a long time.
Yeah.
I think they had. I was talking to Rich Bauer from the Vandalia newspaper, and he said they have 95 kids in their kids' wrestling program. So, yeah. So, I mean, not only are they good, they've built the program the correct way and had a lot of success at it.
Kyle will be headed to Vandalia when he's done here to take in the Vandalia sectional. Then I suspect in a couple of weeks he'll be, I don't know if you'll be at the Lincolnwood Regional, if you'll stay home, if you'll go over to Macon with Nokomis. I don't know what your plan will be.
I have no idea what I'm going to do. Everybody plays at the same time. But
I know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, so
we got like 25 games on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be fun. You know, if somehow I'll try to figure out a way to be in Raymond, Macon, and Gillespie at the same time.
That'll be impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Matt Milberg has been looking forward all year to hosting the regional this year. The Lancers have had such a good season, and it's always nice when you've got a team that can win a regional the year that you're hosting it. And Lincolnwood's the 4 seed, so they'll play Mount Olive in a semifinal game, or excuse me, on a quarterfinal game on February 25th. That'll be at 6 o'clock, and then they win and they will play Calhoun in the semifinals,
likely, yeah.
Most likely. So. The Calhoun, obviously, we saw them at the holiday tournament. They're tough. Corey Nelson.
And actually, if they win that, I mean, won't they play Green? I mean, isn't Greenfield first, then the semifinal?
The way that the bracket reads here is the Lincolnwood Mount Olive winner plays Calhoun, and then the Carrollton Brussels winner will play the Greenfield Bunker Hill winner in the second semifinal. Yeah. I could be looking at the bracket totally wrong, but that's how I see it. But this is a winnable regional for Lincolnwood. I mean, Calhoun is tough. Don't mistake it. Now, they are really, really good. When you go 6'7", 6'8", at 1A, and they're both skilled, that causes a matchup problem. But when I've seen Lincolnwood this year, Kyle, they have impressed me each and every time. I saw them win at Nokomis. I saw them almost beat Nokomis in the championship game of the Mohawk Classic. So on their home floor, Lincolnwood will be an extremely tough out.
Yeah, and you're wrong. They're playing Greenfield.
Yeah, it would be Lincolnwood will play either Greenfield or Bunker Hill in the semis.
Yeah, and the funny thing.
Oh, yeah, I looked at it wrong.
Yeah,
totally
good we're
wrong.
Not air traffic controllers.
Yeah. Yeah. A small collision. So Carrollton Brussels, that winner,
yeah,
plays Calhoun.
That one plays Calhoun in the semifinals, and Lincolnwood plays Mount Olive, and Greenfield plays, the house that Tim Mize built. Semi. So, and the funny thing is too, you know, I mean, Lincolnwood's playing Greenfield this coming week, and during the regular season. So they'll be very familiar with each other. If the seeds hold and that's how everything shakes out, you know, they'll see each other in the regional semifinals. So, you know, hard to beat a team, twice that close together. Sure. So, but you know, and then like you said, Calhoun's had a good season. They're the number one seed in the subsectional for a reason. But Lincolnwood's had a good year. They're hustle. They're not particularly tall. They do a very good job on defense. They, you know, have just had some success by creating, you know, turnovers, keeping, opponents, you know, the scores low. They lost a tough game last night to a talented, Calvary team, but, they have the capability of winning some really tough games this year and winning a regional title. But it, like I said, Calhoun is going to cause problems, you know, with them. Whenever they've played Nokomis, you know, Carter Sobel's had, you know, 20 some odd points. You know, I think he had 19 or so in the first game and, you know, probably close to that or more in the second game. So, to have two guys like that'll be a tough act to follow.
Yeah. I've been telling David we need to get a segment on this show, what Tim got wrong this week.
There's one of them right there.
There it is, right there. It's a fast filling segment. So
it'd be like PTI's errors segment at the end of their show.
Yeah, errors, yes, that's exactly
the,
right.
The only people, you know, I've always been told the only people that don't make mistakes are the people that don't try. So,
Well, I guess I'm trying really hard. Nokomis, they are headed over to Macon Meridian for their regional. That'll feed into the Casey Westfield sectional. For the Skins, they've got the 4 seed, so that will put them in a quarterfinal game on February the 25th against Cowden-Herrick Beecher City. They win that game, they will be into the semifinals on Wednesday night, where they will face either Macon Meridian or Ramsey. I read the bracket right that time.
You did so well.
By golly. Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks?
I'm so proud of you.
The ability to read basic sentences. But, Gators, this is obviously Steve Kimbrough's final go, and he'll be at the Macon Meridian Regional. So we'll get to that in a moment, but we know that Friday night will be his final game in Nokomis.
Yeah, it should be a neat atmosphere. You know, they play Edinburgh and have beaten them once already this season. So,
of course, Edinburgh got to be there for number 800 last year.
Yeah,
and they get to be there for the final home game this year.
Yeah, lucky devils.
That's right.
But
there's gonna be a special ceremony after the game. I understand it's gonna be a real nice night. I know they're welcoming back former players, and it's gonna be a real nostalgic evening. And I don't know that people in Nokomis necessarily understand how things are going to change.
Yeah.
It is going to be so different. And I speak from experience being from Bunker Hill, when Coach Lafka left, it ain't never been the same.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, and it'll be interesting to see what the new coach does. You know, does he, I mean, stay with the style that is, that Nokomis has had since time began? You know, do they try to do something different? You know, and I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer to that. You know, I think you just have to, you know, kind of roll with the punches on there and hopefully give the new guy a chance to make some mistakes. I mean, you know, the sky may be falling if they go 15-16 their first year, but you know, I mean, it's also, they have a good system in place too. I mean, they've, you know, there's a lot of people that have played for Nokomis that are still involved in the program. You know, their junior high program's been solid. So, well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, and it'll be weird not seeing Kimbrough on the bench there. You know, I think he's deserved some time off. So
I think he's earned it.
Yeah. You know, say he, you know, he's put in the time after, I mean, you know, having, you know, watched coaches over the last, you know, 10, 12 years, you know, it's amazing to me that anybody does it, period, sometimes. So, you know, I mean,
when you figure out the hourly rate, they make about 5 cents an hour.
Yeah. And you get yelled at more, you know, more than most other jobs. So, you know, seems like there's always somebody, you know, looking to fire you. So, you know, gotta help them.
Oh, no doubt about that. If the seeds hold at Macon Meridian, we would get Central A&M and Nokomis in the regional title, and that would be the third or fourth straight year they've met?
Yeah, at least third.
It usually comes in a sectional, but a regional this year,
yeah,
potentially.
You know, and they've had some really good games. You know, Central A&M is just a super solid team, and you know, but like you said, I mean, it's all who shows up the right day, you know, and you wouldn't think that Central A&M would be overconfident, but you know, you don't sleep on Nokomis. I've learned that before, you know. I mean, I've seen them beat teams that they have no business beating. So it's,
I don't think anyone's ever slept on Nokomis in the last 39 years.
No,
that's
really
a bad idea.
You really shouldn't. It just, it just doesn't work out well.
Not gonna
for
end
you.
Well.
But you know, like I said, you know, and the atmosphere will be good. And they have a difference maker in Carter Sobel, you know. I mean, the leading scorer in the program's history. So, I mean, he's added a three-point shot to there that he can hit every now and then. You know, Alex Tassetti's coming back. So, he'll be 100% healthy, for the regionals. So, they got some weapons.
Yeah, they've been doing what they can to limit his minutes here the last week and a half or so, trying to get him ready for postseason play. You mentioned Carter's point total. You have the number, what it is right now?
Off the top of my head, but it's probably close to like 2,100.
Yeah.
You know, which
I was keeping track for a while, but
I have it in my database.
It's an impressive database.
Yeah,
by the way.
Thank you. I work out. You know, like I said, first player in Montgomery County to, boys player to hit 2,000. Probably not going to get the overall Montgomery County record, which Sammy Matouche has with like 2,800.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of points.
Yeah, if he scores 700 points over the next 2.5 weeks, I will be impressed.
Yeah. I would say they probably win.
Yeah, that's exactly right. As we look at the 2A boys postseason seeds, the Shelbyville section will have regionals from Paris, Flora, Gillespie, and Roxana. And at the Gillespie regional, we will have a Hillsboro-Gillespie quarterfinal on the 24th of February. The winner of that game will get Breeze Modern Day on February 26th. And then quarterfinal games on the 25th, Breeze Central against Litchfield, Staunton, and Carlinville. The Litchfield game at 6, the Staunton-Carlinville game at 7:30. Those winners will then meet in the semifinal at 7:30 on Wednesday. But you look at that Gillespie regional, and you've got Modern Day and Central both sitting there.
Yeah, the traditional Breeze to Gillespie trek.
Naturally. Of course, the Breeze girls, Modern Day, went to Gillespie for the regional. So at least they know how to get there by now.
At least they're consistent. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's... if the seats hold, that'll be a really, I mean, you know.
The pit will be packed.
Yeah. And like I said, they have, you know, they can just caravan from Breeze together, so.
Can modern day fans and Central fans ride together? Is that allowed?
I don't believe so.
John, you're down from that neck of the woods. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's maybe quite as intense as it was in the 80s, but it's pretty darn close. Yeah. It would be like, let's share the milk bowl, like a participation trophy. That doesn't work out.
Doesn't work.
It's the Capulets and the Montague there.
There you go.
Southwestern, they will be at the Roxana Regional facing Greenville in a quarterfinal game on the 24th. The winner of that game will then advance into the semifinals to play Roxana on Wednesday, the 26th. Alton Marquette has a bye into the semifinals there. That'll be a Tuesday semi. They'll play either Carlisle or Wood River. In the 2A Beardstown sectional, you got the Plains Regional, the Riverton Regional, the Rushville Industry Regional, and the Deer Creek Mackinac Regional. And this is a very loaded sectional tournament. Of course, you've got Pleasant Plains, the top seed in their own regional. They're still the only team to beat West Central this year. I don't think West Central has ever gathered a second loss since Plains got them. In the Riverton Regional, you've got SHG as the 2 seed, Riverton as the 3 seed, Normal U-High is the top seed in the Deer Creek Mackinac Regional, and then you've got Farmington and Porta, the top seeds in the Rushville Industry Regional. So that will be a heavyweight sectional coming up in Beardstown in a few short weeks. Back to 1A for just a moment. We looked it up, and by we, I mean Kyle.
Yeah.
Because West Central and Central A&M this year have just seemingly been on a collision course, and if that did happen, if they meet in the playoffs, it would be in the state championship game.
Yeah, and that would be, you know, that'd be a game, you know. I mean, that'd be a fun one to watch. So there's a long way to go before they get there, you know, and there's got to be a lot of pressure on West Central. I mean, they do have that one loss to Plains, which probably kind of refocused them and helped them out. But I mean, it's tough to maintain that kind of record whenever you go through, you know, an entire season. So, you know, and like I said, Central A&M has Nokomis and, you know, probably has some, tough tests coming after that. So, I mean, like you said, it's all conjecture at
this point. That's exactly right. Like, we just cuss and discuss, but we've already seen on the girls' side, just because you got a good seed in the regional doesn't mean anything. But if we did wind up with that type of state championship, that'd be nice for the central and southern part of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the girls' side this year has just been weird. You know, I mean, we saw that, you know, in the South Central Conference with, you know, 4 teams winning the conference championship, you know, and I mean, you know, Hillsborough beat Carlinville and Pena and lost to Vandalia. You know, Carlinville beat, you know, lost to Hillsborough by 20. You know, it had that game. I mean, it only lost 3 games all this year, lost to Southwestern. You know, Southwestern had, you know, pulled some upsets over some people and then lost some games they probably, you know, wish they had back. Yep. So, you know, that can happen on the boys' side too. So
we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Sean Bullitt.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. We got Kyle Hirschman with the Journal News in studio with us this morning. K. Hirsch will be off to the Vandalia Wrestling Sectional when he is done with us, and you have an update?
Yes, yeah, Carter Powell won his consolation round match, so he is still alive. He could, you know, like I said, the guys that are in the consolation matches in the WrestleBacks, they can finish third or fourth and still make it to state. The consolation semifinals are what they call now the blood round, which means
blood.
Yeah. It's you know, it's kind of a fun nickname for a high school event.
Yeah.
But
somebody watches a lot of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, basically it's win or go home on that point. You know, if you lose in the consolation semifinals, your season is done. Those are the intense matches. Those are the ones that everybody is watching. You know, those are the ones that get celebrated. After that, the first, second, you know, third, fourth, you know, is for seeding, at the state level and for pride and that, which is still important. But if you've lost a match and you're in the consolation semifinals, that is the match you want to win.
So in the regional, the top three from each weight class advance. And
that's
in the
correct.
Sectional, the top four
yep.
advance on to state. Blood
yeah.
round.
Yeah, blood round. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, there's usually not that much blood, and if it is, it's just like a bloody nose. So, you know, it's not as serious, you know, as that. But, you know, like I said, it's a lot of fun, good atmosphere. And these kids are, I mean, you know, working hard, extremely hard. It's very emotional. You know, parents are into it. Fans are into it. It's a good atmosphere.
Karish, we're going to talk about Grace in just a moment. But first, I want to go back to Nokomis for just a moment. And at the Litchfield Tournament, the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational, I started calling it the McInvite because I got tired of...
I call it McBuckets.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But as I was, you know, my out cues, like Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational Litchfield, and just I got tired.
You know what? I like McInvite, too.
McInvite. So that's what I went with.
I like that, too. So
I just kind of did it. I went with Terry's philosophy. It's better to apologize and ask permission. So I figured if I said it and somebody had a problem with it, they would just come tell me, don't call it that.
You know, I think.
They might now.
I think it's a nice honor for the McGraws. So I think for them to be associated with it in any way, I think they'd be okay.
I call it the Rick Mac.
Rick Mac. There you go. That's not bad
yeah,
either.
That's pretty good. But my point was, at the Invitational, it was quite the night for Nokomis. Steve Kimbrough became the fourth winningest coach all time in the state. And on the same night, Carter Sobel broke the scoring record. So what are the odds of that?
Yeah, it pretty amazing. And it was a fun night. And plus add in the fact that Taylorville was playing next door at Simmons in the tournament as well. And Mike Rivera, the previous scoring leader at Nokomis, was able to, he's the assistant coach now for Taylorville, was able to be there and see it and celebrate a little bit afterwards. So, it was a really cool night, and people, somebody said on Twitter, that people are going to talk about who is the better player, Carter or Mike, and in reality, just enjoy them, they're both phenomenal players. So, if you were making a all Nokomis team, it'd be hard to leave either one of those guys out of your top five. So,
like Tony La Russa used to say, tied for first.
Exactly. Maybe a three-way tie. I was always partial to Ben Marley, a couple years ago.
You did love Ben Marley.
Had a terrible three-point shot, that him and Austin used to make videos out of. I was always a Ben Marley guy, so... in reality, been a lot better football player than basketball player, but
yeah, great football career.
Yeah, great football career. So,
as we think about Steve Kimbrough here in his 39th and final season, they had the game up in Lincoln a couple weeks ago. That was a very neat ceremony that they had up there. They recognized Coach Kimbrough. They had some of their previous teams back, recognized Lauren Wallace's state team, and I'm so glad that series finally happened. I know there had been discussions of it for a long time, and to finally get it done here at Nokomis last year, at Lincoln this year, just wonderful. And I don't know how much longer Neil Alexander's going to go. I tried to get it out of him when I was out there a couple weeks ago, but he wouldn't tell me.
And Steve was kind of like that. I think it'll probably be the same similar deal. They'll just decide, okay, one year it'll be I'm ready to go. And, you look at his teams and they're winning. I mean, over and over and over again. So, if he still has the passion to do it and still has the drive, and I think Neil has surrounded himself by good people too. So, I might as well just keep doing it.
One of the most impressive trophy cases I've seen at Lincoln. I mean, they almost need a building just for the trophies. And they got things going back like to the 1920s and even further back than that. The trophies look like they were made a little bit better back then.
Probably melt them down.
A little higher quality.
Sell them for scrap.
The funny thing about Lincoln is you go to a game there and you see that atmosphere, and then people will tell you it used to be a bigger deal.
Right. Oh my. Yeah. And it probably did. I mean, it just... get back in like the 70s and before that, and even like the 80s. If you wanted to go to a game on a Friday night, you better get there by 5:30 if you want to see.
That's pretty cool. And And, you know, I think part of that's still gone, but, you know, that's what makes whenever you have an atmosphere like, you know, that you had with Nokomis and Lincoln, whenever you have a games like last year at the sectional at Hillsboro, you know, that's a fun atmosphere to have, and it makes it even more special. So
that's right. So we're looking forward to next Friday night for Steve Kimbrough's final home game. We'll have it live on FM 106, and then we'll carry the postgame ceremony on the air.
Find tickets on StubHub.
Yeah. Always. Always. Kyle Hirschman, before we get out of here, I do want to talk about Grace.
Yeah.
And update.
Yeah, she's doing pretty good. We had a spell in December where we were in the hospital for more than we weren't. So, but she's doing pretty good now. She's still a happy little girl and comfortable. So, we sent out a couple checks for approximately $44,000 on this week to the INAD Cure Foundation, which supports research and different studies at St. Louis, at Washington University, and a couple overseas and a couple in states too. So, our community, I don't say us, because we have done very little to raise the money. It's been the people around us has raised about $200,000 for INAD research, which is really cool. So
Terry always said there's no people more generous than the people of Montgomery County, and they show it time and time again. They certainly have with Grace, and the connection that all the county sports teams have had with Grace. It's so special. It doesn't matter if it's volleyball, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever. It's just a really special connection.
Yeah, and it's been really neat, with the volleyball tournament that we've had the last 3 years, that they've kind of dubbed a Grace-filled tourney that Lincoln would host with kind of a rotating through one of the other county schools. We have a lot of people following us from all over the area. You know, it's not just that. We had a game at Illinois College, which today is Carly Cameron, Hillsboro grad. It's her senior night at Illinois College.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it makes you feel old.
It really does.
Me too. But, you know, Carly has been her and Lindsay Storm, really connected with Grace whenever they were in high school on the Hillsboro girls basketball team, and they've kept up with her and kept in contact, you know, with us, and they had a game at Illinois College earlier this year, a Grace game, so gave Grace a jersey, J.C. Holloman's old jersey, so it's been really special, and you know, like I said, it's not a journey I wish anybody on, but, you know, the people that we've had on it, you know, have been just phenomenal.
Well, and you guys have done such a wonderful job, you and Mary, of raising the awareness. The community has been a huge part of raising the funds, but you and Mary have done just a wonderful job of letting people know the situation. Because before Grace had INAD, I hadn't heard of it.
No.
I don't think a lot of people had heard of it. And I know you've said before there just wasn't hardly any fundraising for it at all. And you guys have really been at the forefront of changing that.
Yeah, we've tried to help as much as we can. There's the family that created the INAD Cure Foundation in New Jersey has done a phenomenal job. There's a family out of Texas that really got the ball rolling. They said they needed $150,000 to start this study at Washington University, and we kind of got cracking and, you know, contributed $30,000 or $40,000 to that. And like I said, whenever I say we, I mean the people in Montgomery County, because I make newspaper money. I don't got that kind of cash. So, you know, and as far as the publicity and stuff, you know, Mary and I are both writers. So that's been the way that we've decided to tell our story. You know, that's kind of a catharsis to us. You know, some people, you know, I mean, if we had a different job, we'd probably do it a different way,
right.
But it's begun. And like I said, as far as publicity, whenever you own a newspaper, you know, that helps.
Useful.
Yeah.
Useful. You mentioned the Grace Field Journey Volleyball Tournament, but you also, of course, have the Grace Cup.
Yeah.
And that's a big one.
Yeah. It's, you know, a big awareness thing. You know, it gets the kids involved. You know, it'll be, I believe the, I want to say the second week of June this year. It's whatever the week before Irish Days is.
There you go.
Because Joe Webb is a huge help to that, and I cannot conflict with Irish Days Webb family. You know, it's either the first, I think it's the first or second week of June. You know, we'll be inviting, senior, soccer players from, all over the area, all the South Central Conference schools, and as far north as, like Springfield, Plains, Athens, all the way down to the Metro East with, like Roxana and Metro East Lutheran and Father McGivney and some of those teams. So, you know, this is, I want to say the sixth year for that. Awesome. You know, we've had, you know, 30 some odd schools, a couple hundred different players. We got a girls game this, or, you know, for the third year in a row. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Before we run out of time here, Kyle, if someone would like to make a donation or help out in any way, what's the best way to do it?
You know, you can go to, our Facebook page is probably a good way to go there. It's at A Grace-Filled Journey. You can search for us on Facebook. We also have a blog, agracefilledjourney.com. The INAD Cure Foundation, like all the money that we raise, we give to them, and then they distribute to, the fund. A lot of it goes to, WashU, which is pretty cool. We've met the researcher that is in charge of this. You know, he answers our emails.
Hey, there you go.
You know, pretty quickly. So he's a great guy.
Okay, Hirsch, thank you so much. Thank Darren's knee for joining us this morning. For David, Sean, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.